you believe that the Genesis creation story is a literal account of how God actually created the universe, or whether you believe it's a beautiful parable or hymn about his creativity, you can't help but be struck as to just how easy it was for God to create. Genesis said that God said, "Let lights appear in the skies," and they simply did. It says that God created two great lights in the sky, the sun and the moon. I remember looking at some photographs at the Astronomer of the Year competition. There was one of an explosion on the surface of the sun. Some of the explosions on the surface of the sun are bigger than the whole Earth. Can you imagine? We humans have barely managed to harness nuclear energy, and yet God has placed in the sky millions, if not billions, of stars, just like our sun, which contain hundreds of nuclear reactions every single day. And not only has he created and harnessed such massively awesome power, but he has created infinitely tiny things as well. The cells inside our body, of which there are millions and which we can barely see even with microscopes, work like teeny, tiny, perfect little factories, each one doing its job exactly as it should. And so not only does the massiveness of space and the minuteness of cells and atoms amaze and confuse us, but even the normal things of creation can make us wonder or be fearful. A while ago in Essex, someone reported that they'd seen a lion or another big cat roaming the streets. You may remember from the news, and the police and the local zoo were out in force the whole day trying to find it. One lion, and we humans were so frightened of it. In the end, there was no Essex lion anyway. The Genesis account reassures us that God created all of this, from massive stars to microscopic cells, from big scary lions to cute and cuddly cats like the one Karis and I said hello to as we walked to church this morning. And yet in Genesis 1:26 and 1:28, God puts human beings in charge. He tells the first human beings to fill the earth and to govern it. As Christian believers, we mustn't think that that means we can abuse creation, that we can do whatever we want with it. The earth was placed here for the benefit and enjoyment of all humanity, not just a small proportion who are rich and fortunate. When Jesus' disciples asked him about leadership, he told them that if they wanted to be leaders, they were to become like slaves. He said that he had come to earth to be a slave to others. And that is how we should reign over the earth. We should rule the earth as if we were its servants. I'm amazed at the generosity I see in our little church. Just look at all the food we'll be giving to the poor and needy of this town this harvest. And I hope that we'll continue to give generously throughout the year. Just imagine, though, if all humans followed our example. Just imagine if, like our church, when we're at our best, all people everywhere wanted to serve one another and to serve creation. There is plenty of food and water to go around for everyone in the whole world, if only people would stop being so greedy. This harvest season, we are infinitely grateful to God who created us and who sustains us. We are grateful to those people who farm the land and who bring food to our tables. We think of those people around the world, even in our own towns and villages, who don't have enough food and water. The Bible
Bible tells us that the whole universe was made through Jesus and for Jesus. And yet he told us that he came not to dominate and control, but to love and to serve. So at the moment, and for the last few years, it seems that everything in the news is about stuff that is happening in the Western world. ID cards, immigration, war in Ukraine, conflict in Palestine, the NHS in crisis. And yet I remember, as I'm sure many of you do, when much of the news was taken up with what used to be called the Third World. And it seems that that has completely fallen off our radar. And I'm not saying that our problems aren't real. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be concerned about our own communities and our own nation. Not saying that we shouldn't be concerned about conflict and hatred around the world. However, every now and again, it's good for us, especially as Christian disciples, to pause and to remember that 85% of people live in developing nations. That's about 6.7 billion people. And there are 46 countries on the United Nations list of least developed countries. What we probably would have used to call third world countries, least developed countries before. That's nearly 1 billion people living at a level of poverty that we couldn't even begin to imagine. The only least developed country that I've been to was Sierra Leone. And some of you will know that I went there twice to help train their army. The level of poverty is shocking. You step off the plane and it is just filth and dirt everywhere. No security at the airport, nothing. If someone has an accident, they can't pick up the phone and call an ambulance, because there are no phones and there are no ambulances. If they run out of milk, they can't just nip to the local co-op or go online for a home delivery, because that just simply doesn't exist. They can't flip a switch and a light comes on, or a fan comes on, or the oven comes on, because most homes don't have electricity. They can't turn on a tap in the kitchen and fresh drinkable water flows, because most homes don't have water. In fact, many of the homes are simple mud huts with thatched roofs. I'm not joking when I say, in many parts of the countryside, people live literally like the Iron Age in this country. When I was in Sierra Leone, we were given packed lunches every day, and they were pretty grim. They were not nice. Tough bread rolls with some random sort of meat thing inside. Stale crisps and not very chocolatey chocolate. You know when chocolate sort of goes all pale and crumbly. The British Army base that we stayed on had a shop, and so we all bought our own packed lunches. We had the money to do it, and we bought our own nice sandwiches and crisps and things. But as we travelled through the villages in our Army Land Rovers, children would come out to greet us, and we'd hand them our rejected packed lunches, which to them were like banquets. They had probably never seen that amount of food before in one go. They certainly hadn't had chocolate and sweets before. Like I said, I'm not telling you this to make you feel guilty. Not trying to compare our suffering to other people's suffering. But it is important that as Christians we realise that billions of people, created and loved by God, live like this. And that if possible, we try to support organisations and projects like Op Agri. And I love the way Op Agri works. They're not handing out packed lunches, but they're out there with the local people, teaching them, training them, equipping them, and helping them to pull themselves out of poverty. There is a time and a place for simply handing out to people what is needed. But there's also a time and a place for helping people stand on their own two feet, and with a bit of nurturing and a bit of assistance, bettering their lives themselves. As per our Exodus reading, it is absolutely right that we take the time and effort to celebrate our harvest, to thank God for all that we have. But it's also absolutely right to remember the poor and to do what we can do to help others have life and to have it